My name is Jude. This is where the region has its best conversation. And our starter today is on the back of a conversation my colleague Gabriella Ayan had a few days ago about students. And I am not taking for granted the presence of the gentleman who's going to be with me, because it's one of those conversations that bears greatly on the past, on the present, and in the future. Now, many of us here in River State, many of us here in Nigeria, probably haven't heard about the Hong Kong riots back in the early 2000s or in the 90s, or even recently, as recent as about 2.5 years ago. Now, what was peculiar about the Hong Kong riots, or in every single reiteration that they have come through, is that they were usually spearheaded, usually sustained by student. University students who would later become thinkers, thought provokers, students who would later become leaders, captains of industry in Asia and indeed all across the world. There was a time that was a mantra for many Nigerians. How many of you have heard that phrase? I'm sure you have. Aluta continua. Remember that SUG government? That's what we, as a young person, was I got to hear from my older cousins who were in the university. But these days, that's not the mantra that we get to hear so much today. Student union government and unionism seems to have metamorphosized to be a bit of an offshoot of political parties, a bit of an offshoot of godfatherism, and a bit of an offshoot of, you know what, money-making schemes or ventures. So we're going to talk about that this morning, and you don't get conversations like this anywhere else but here, 90.3 Nigeria Info.
And now, Hello Port Harcourt with Jude on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
My guest this morning, always a friend of the house, Dr. Alfred Oladapo, joining me this morning to talk about a student union government on unionism and the modern aspects that we should be looking at for them. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Jude.
Good morning. Thank you very much for joining us this morning.
I appreciate it.
Love the suit, by the way.
Thank you very much.
Is that navy blue or?
It's a boy's shirt.
It's boy. I'm not too good with colors, but that looks like a shade of blue.
It's a navy blue.
Oh, okay, navy blue. All right, so I'm glad that I got that.
You got it right.
So if you have seen that story and you heard about the story, we're not here to talk about the authenticity of the story or not, but we're talking about the relevance of the impression the story has had, because it's not the first time we've had stories like this. But this one, interestingly, you know, got a viral reception because of the detail. Now, some people say this person is actually focused. This person actually knows what they want to do. That's why they have so much in detail about their plans as a member of the student union governing body. So this, from the office of the vice president, student union, from the University of Uyo, appointment of vice presidential aides. Now, in total, there were about 18 aides for student union government. Now, when I was in school, towards the end, I got to find out that a lot of people were clamoring to get into the student union government body, not so much because it was a breeding ground to, as it were, energize individuals and prepare them for politics, like I heard when I was much younger, when you had student union presidents or SAs PROs and things like that, who would later go on in life to, you know, affect some change. Point in question, some of the demonstrators we've had in the past few years were all active in their various student union governing bodies. But I got to hear that people were paying bribes. This was in the University of Port Harcourt, so I'm calling out names. So we're not masquerading under probabilities or pseudonyms. No, I'm calling out names. Back then, the people were paying students. Confirm, they pay bribe now. And then when you come in, there was a take up fee, a mobilization fee that was being paid. So, what was student union body like in your time, both here in Nigeria and abroad, and what should it be now in our modern Nigeria?
Big question. Yeah. Well, in my own days, student unionism was practically from a service angle. I was never a member of the student union. I was not politically inclined, so to say. But I remember quite well, it was a position whereby you engage with the school authority. I mark my words, I say engage. Mm. There's a difference between engaging and confronting.
Mm.
Okay, they are like a liaison body between, you know, the students and the school authority. And when the school authority probably comes up with something that they felt was not in the best interest of students, the first thing they did in those days was to call a meeting of the student body or representatives and then have a discussion on it and then take a position and then go back to the school authority, schedule a meeting. And so concerning this thing that you want to do, the students have looked at it and we are their representatives and this is what we've come up with. We think this is what you should do or this is the way you will approach it. And I think in every sane climb, that's what should happen. It's like a student representative council. And that's because those who are leading the institutions many times, you know, forgot that they were once students. Or they are oblivious of the realities, of the trends, or the challenges that the modern day people, those who are students now, are likely confronting.
Yes.
So it was a linking ground to ensure that you bring the breed of the old and the young generation to a table whereby you can have discussions. And now, mark my word, is basically about dialogue. Were there riots in those days? Of course, yes.
Mm.
I'm not going to deny that there were riots. And that's because sometimes, you know, the school authority, you know, felt that way. Either you guys are too small, you know, to tell us what to do, or, you know, you don't want to, we're going to beat you, you know, into line.
Mm.
And that's, for me, where that aluta continue. That is, look, this is what we believe in. This is what should happen based on principles, based on sane ambience, and of course, critical thinking, as well as ability to look at the consequential results of whatever, you know, you're trying to do. It's, you know, the struggle continues. Now, look, this is what should happen on the campus. Somehow, I think the expression aluta now has been seen more as a confrontation. And I think over the generation, please mark my words, I think, because I'm not an authority in this. I have not done any research on that. But, you know, events and trends I've seen over time makes it look like what makes you popular as a student union government is that, you know, you must be able to confront the authority, you know, talk to them anyhow, you know, dress them down, put them in their place, let them know we're not going to take any kind of nonsense, you know, from you. You know, these are our generation, you know,
almost,
you can
almost rude
things,
like.
Almost rude like. So when you have that kind of dysfunctional approach to leadership, and I'm choosing my words carefully, dysfunctional approach to leadership. And sometimes you don't have a sane approach from the authorities too, to be able to say, hey, so you are older than these guys. You've been in this business, you know, before many of them. The authorities need to engage what I call critical thinking. They need to engage, you know, like a lot of effective communication styles so that you're able to convey your issues. But then, Jude, it's almost like every facet of Nigerian system, we don't know how to solve problems. We don't know how to dialogue. We don't know how to negotiate. And if you move off the campus, you find that almost every union in Nigeria now, the only language they believe they can speak is to go on strike. So we haven't really built institutions that are intelligently positioned to be able to handle the issues of societies, especially when it comes to social contracts, and how to maintain it, how to ensure that you deliver on your promise to the people. And of course, you're not fooling them. You're not trying to put a facade, you know, over their eyes or put a wool, you know, over there. It's a major issue that you see. And is it the degradation that you find in leadership today didn't begin in one day. It's usually, you know, a little step away from the reality of what it's supposed to be. And when you look at where we are, it becomes a serious challenge. And of course, for any sane mind, you begin to think of where will this likely take us tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
Where are we going to be in the next 5 years? Where are we going to be in the next 10 years, next 20 years, or in the next 50 years? What kind of country, you know, will we be classified as in the Committee of Nations? So while the student union is a ground for breeding, and I use that word, you know, with every sense of caution, it should be a ground for breeding, you know, leaders who can make intelligent contributions, you know, to nation building. But is it? The campus is like a training ground for them.
Mm-hmm.
The professors are supposed to be like mentors for them. The administration is supposed to be paving the way on how to think, you know, properly.
Mm.
Unfortunately, the way we approach issues is we deal with, there's a problem here now. We treat every human problem as technical. It's like a bulb is not lighting up now, remove it and change it. So we've not seen human problems as not being technical. You know, one of my professors at Harvard, Veselinsky, you know, he said, you know, very clearly, he said, you have to put the problems of life in three major categories. First are what you call the technical problems. Technical problems are those that you know what the problem is and you know what the solution is.
Yes.
So, you know, your car AC is not cooling, for example. You know, you can always troubleshoot. Mm-hmm. These are the likely reasons why it happens. That's right.
Yes.
So that's why, you know, when you buy your TV, it comes with a manual where they're going to give you a page or a page and a half or half a page where they say troubleshooting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that is, these are likely solutions that can happen when this kind of challenges now come up. The second category of problem, what we call the complex problems.
Mm.
Complex problems have to do, you know, with the human behavior. Now, in the complex problem, don't forget what I said, in the technical problem, you know what the problem is and you know what the likely solutions are.
Yeah.
When it comes to complex problems, you know what the problem is, but you don't know what the solution is. Therefore, you have to think through systems.
Mm.
However, when it comes to adaptive problems, you don't even know what the problem is and you don't know what the solution is.
Oh, wow.
Unfortunately, you know, in this part of the world, especially, you know, the Nigerian leadership, you know, across levels,
mm-hmm.
and I have no apology for this, we treat every problem as technical. And that's why, you know, the problems don't go away. They rather mutate into some other forms.
So it's adaptive in nature. That's what we have.
Nigerian problem is both complex and adaptive.
That's a serious one.
And it depends on the kind of problem you're picking on. We don't really have issues of that have to do with technicalities as such.
Mm.
So when a lot of people say we need to restructure this country and things like that, is it the structure that has a problem? It's not the structure. And I've said this on several fora. It's the system. It's the system that we run, not really the structure. See, sometimes we confuse structure and systems. Now, the human body, for example, is made up of systems. Your bones are just like the structures.
Mm.
That's why, you know, when a human being dies, many times it's a system shut down.
Yes.
So you bury someone, and in 50 years' time, you go there, the bones are still there.
The structure is still there.
That's right. So, you got a structure. What we should be talking about in this country is not structure, it's system. There's a system that is so dysfunctional, that is so toxic, that is so corrosive, that is so demeaning and dehumanizing. A system that is so full of chaos, and we seem to thrive in it. And that's why the moment we say we need to restructure this country, you're not really making any sense. In the reality of intellectualism and those who have to deal with organizational issues, no, you need to address the system that runs this country.
So
if you can take care of the system, this structure is not taken care of.
So the systems have gotten us to the point where we now have, like I mentioned, student union bodies now metamorphosized into, you know, what they are now. Now that's speaking generally. Now let's now come particular. We have just about a minute to a commercial. Now I knew, and I'm sure you probably knew, when you have student union government representatives outside, there's usually a head, an assistant, PRO, maybe one or two individuals who were going to assist them, and that was about it. Here we have 18 people. And I do know that from my conversations, right, in Uniport, that some of these bodies, you know, some bodies will come and give the SUG money, you know. It's those little people, because a lot of people in our Nigerian space, a lot of students are not particular about what goes on in the SUG. I grew up knowing and hearing that the university is a micro schism of a larger society's schism. And so, like you said, training ground and all of that. Are we now looking at university where it is the larger schism that's now affecting the smaller schism?
I think what has happened over time is that we have decided, you know, to throw away, you know, serious thinking and to just go with the flow. And it's easy to to go with the flow in any society. Mm-hmm. Very easy. Now, until the universities, you know, position themselves as true citadel of learning and custodian of intellectual hybrid ideas, until they become solution to the problem, you know, given to the problems of the society. So what is happening is you just find that we are confusing models and mentors. The university community is supposed to be mentoring the larger society. However, what has happened is that the university society has decided to take
a model,
the larger society, as its own model. So either you find at the academic staff union or you find at student level, it's almost the same.
When we come back, we're going to open the phone lines and we're going to be talking to Dr. Alfred Aladapo this morning. Our big question this morning, how should student union bodies, student union governments be poised in modern times? My name is Jude. Hello, Port Harcourt returns.
Hello, Port Harcourt. Say hello to the buzz, the vibes, the peculiarities and regularities of a contemporary city.
Hello, Port Harcourt. Let's talk about this modern metropolis sprawling from the city to the exurbs, the suburbs, township, community and your locality.
Let's talk about happenings in your neighborhood, standards at your workplace, social amenities and issues of great concern to you on Hello, Port Harcourt.
Hello, Port
Every
Harcourt.
Weekday from 9 a.m. to midday on your number one station for talk, news and sports, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Let's talk.
So, SUG is on now from Bernard this morning. My name is Jude. I have with me Dr. Alfred Aladapo this morning. We're going to now get into the very serious bit of the conversation. The phone lines will be opened, 0817-923-0002, 0817-923-0003, 0817-923-0007, and then the female caller line is 0817-923-0009. Some people have been watching on Facebook, facebook.com/ Nigeria Info PH. Want to get to hear your comments, read your comments as well. And then WhatsApp is 0809-030-6416. Because of the want of time, please keep your comments short and sweet. If there are questions, let's ask them. If there are comments, let's give them up as we ask and try to analyze what should student union governments be like in the 21st century. Welcome. Hello, Port Harcourt. All right, so we have a first caller, and I'd like my guest to listen to Dennis, who's calling us from Airport Road. Dennis, good morning to you.
Hey, Jude, good morning. How are you today?
Very well, good morning. Great
good to you. To my friend, Dr. Oladipo.
Good morning, please.
You see, when I heard that the student union member created 18 kids, and I wonder what they are studying. My brother, in MBA, Alfred Oladipo will tell you, we studied that if you want an organization to fail, you overstaff it.
Ooh.
If you want a committee, maybe you are a leader in an organization or a state and all, and the people are demanding cars for their this thing, and you don't want to give them that car. The simplest way to deny them that car is to create a committee of 15, 20 people. By the time they keep arguing and arguing and arguing and arguing, time will pass. You no longer buy the car for them. The truth is that Mark Antony only used words to bring down the Roman dictators. We have come to bury Caesar, not to praise him. By speaking like that, he incited people and they went and killed the traitors who killed Caesar. Intelligence matters. Might can never be right. In anything you do, might can never be right. Study to prove yourself a worthy person, a worthy student. worthy of having come out from the citadel. When they say citadel of learning, let Nigerian students Google and understand what citadel means. Students did not go to make money in the institution. They stopped people and all that. Now, pay 18-8. Whose money? You know, then you want to now learn from these politicians. The organization of the state is the executive, the judiciary, and the legislature. I have never seen in any worthy country in the world where the police is excluded, you know, from tax collection, and then you carry arrows to do tax collection. Any citizen that the sector will say, anybody that does not pay tax, report him to the police, and the police will prosecute him. By the time one person is prosecuted, the rest will pay. You don't need arrows to harm people. Let us civilize. Look at all bus stops, 10,000 governments, bus stop to bus stop in Nigeria. It shows
shameful
that illiterate will and then begin to introduce illiterate mechanisms in their cheap qualities. It's wrong.
Dennis, thank you very much. Oh my goodness, 10,000 governments. And I have to start from his comment about multiplying roles and hiring too many people in committees. I grew up, like I made mention, I grew up knowing that when you have a strange new government, there were not too many, but they were well known and people would respect them as, okay, you are represented, like you said. But this, I think, this is amazing.
No, so what do you find, Judas? I think Nigeria runs one of the most expensive governments in the world. I think so. I understand maybe that our legislators are probably the highest paid in the world, or maybe the highest paid in Africa. But just come, if the figures that are making around is correct, you got a senator that earns about $60,000 a month. About 30 million, it is said.
Yeah, but this was back then anyway.
So, whatever it is now. Now, you got graduates who are probably earning $6,000 a year. Depending on the industry where some of them work. Can you have a balanced society?
So what should this body be more of today? Talking about SDG impact, we're talking about, because a lot of people are listening to us are within that age of 19 to about 30.
That's right. The student union body has to rediscover itself, and to understand that you should become a model and a mentor to a political terrain that is so corrosive and extremely dysfunctional.
Akanto is in Bori. Let's get to hear from Akanto this morning. Akanto, good morning to you. Hello, Port Harcourt.
Good morning, Jude.
Good morning.
Good morning, the powerful. This Morgan, I miss you so much. And I want to appeal to you that this conversation should continue on Nigeria, our radio station. I benefit so much from your program, Oladapo. Yes, right, I was a student union president at the Kennedy Basin for the Rural President in Bori.
Okay.
Some years ago, about 4 months ago. And we know what we passed to the student union leader, where the management of the school likes to dictate the seat of the union, or infiltrated from ESCO into the activities of the union. And they know the training should be human or student-centered, where the welfare of the student should be most top priority. Even when the generation of the provision of adequate power supply was not enough on the campus, we always enjoy 3 hours power supply on the campus. It has a fix now. That is student government in the school. During my administration, I ensure that I fought to ensure that we should enjoy at least 5 hours power supply. But during that time, when I do my imagine, if you are casting very hard man, very hard guy, they can't control him. You know the plant speed of this course through from the to impeach me. It is free everywhere. it is happening in other institutions.
But I can't tell. Let me ask you, as a former student union president, now in Nigeria, let me ask you this question. Is it true that there's some money in SUG in Nigeria now that people are paying? Is there money? Is there money coming to the SUG?
There is not a money that comes to us. It's very big. Very big. Let me tell you.
Oh dear. I can't tell. Yes.
Do you know that every student pays student fees?
Okay.
Every student pays at least 2,000 and 1,200 at the case. Times how many number of students in that school? And a huge amount of money. And again, the government council, each of the institutions pay a kind of a take-up due. They have about $5 million, $10 million to train, you know, every year.
To take up responsibility.
Yes, yeah, take-up grant. Take-up grant.
What do you people do with those take-up? What exactly are you meant to do, please?
The money, when it comes to the, you know, do you know what we do?
What?
The stakeholders of the school have the presentation fees.
What are the stakeholders of the school?
For stakeholders from the management of the school, to also have share in it.
Oh, wow.
After all, the money has been given onto the student. Name it that the money has been allocated to the student, not government.
Mm.
But it is not due by the student. But I want to say it I used before.
Oh, dearie me. Akanto. Oh, okay. All right, let's hear from Zion very quickly before we go to Dr. Alfred. Good morning, Zion. Hello, Port Harcourt.
Thank you. Hello, Port Harcourt. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for this timely discourse. The truth is this. When you look at the founding fathers of this country, a lot of them gained prominence because they were active members of one student union.
Mm.
The names of the Nobel laureate cannot be abridged out of it.
Soyinka.
Mention that a lot of them. So the student union government is like a prep for you to become a good leader.
Okay.
The way you perform, the agility in SUG gives you that prominence to be voted for when you aspire to contest in the democratic system or in the outer world, outside the universities. But the today SUG is so corrupt.
SUG. I will buy one. Thank you for prophesying. I will buy one.
So it's so corrupt that it has been hijacked either by politicians from that constituency or through the school management. One of my colleagues, I can't tell you, just call from Bori Polytechnic.
Mm.
I'm also a product of Bori Polytechnic, 2006-2007.
Okay.
Yeah, yes. I will tell you wholeheartedly that when we ask how does HUG get their money or their funds, I'm surprised a lot of people don't know. When you are doing your clearance in school, there is a column 5,000, 10,000 SUV levy.
Mm.
It is there, it's in there. So you find out that most of us are going to school, you have a problem. We don't know what we are paying, we are just paying money and walk away. There is SUV column there, you pay for it. Medical, you pay for it. You pay for it.
Yeah.
This is where they get their money from.
So the question is, why are they not using the money for the interest of the students, Dr. Alfred?
It's all kind of funny, but we're back to where we started, Jude. It's a systems problem. There is no way, you know, someone probably has a system sickness, and you're trying to treat it as a structural issue. It's not going to work. That's why you got orthopedic hospitals that deals to do with bones.
Yeah.
But, you know, when it comes to things like, you know, liver, pancreas, and the rest of them, you got a different system altogether. That's why it's a citadel of learning. Not too many people are disposed to learning. Is that you can have a citadel of learning in your head, but you know, you're interpreting as a citadel of exhibition. Dig. I had a training last week. my first, you know, some young folks.
Mm.
And one of them at a point said, sir, this kind of thing you are teaching here, I wish the whole of youths in the Niger Delta, you know, can listen to you. I know another youth said it right there. He said, see, they will not come.
Why won't they come, though?
He said, see, is it because the priorities of young people today is different? How did we circle back to that point? I was talking about creating value that meets the need of your time.
Hmm.
And I had to go through a number of, let's say, musicians. I took my case study from the musical world, the entertainment world. And I talk about Onyeka Onwenu, talk about Ebenezer Obi, Oliver De Kock,
mm-hmm.
talk about, you know, King Sonny Ade, and some of the other ones. I say, in their own time, they were singing philosophical songs, songs that teach morals, that build society, that, you know, entrench ethics, family values. Some of them are still singing now. Is that the kind of song this generation wants to listen to?
Yeah, but the times have changed.
No, I'm coming. Times have changed. But, you know, morals have not been devaluated.
Okay.
That's so. The truth. And do not steal remains, do not steal.
Fair enough.
Do not covet remains, do not covet. When we derail so badly, because the kind of song that you find, you know, these young guys are singing now, you know, all these voluptuous songs that, you know, this generation wants to hear. And draw an extrapolation on it. Is this generation really a learning generation? Yes. But you see, they are learning the wrong syllabus.
Oh, they are learning the wrong syllabus.
They have the wrong syllabus. Because what they are doing is not going to help them in the long run. So, the you know, government has a lot of money. It's always been like that since one is in school. You know, you pay dues. But is it the same problem that you find in the nation, you find in the student union government, there is no accountability.
Okay, so we students now need to start to hold their student government
accountable. What did you do with
the money?
How much did we have? But when I was in school, you know, you have what you call a statement. Okay, these are all the dues that were contributed. And they are going to break it down for you, department by department. In those days I was growing up, they are going to do a road. You are going to have what you call the tenders board.
Okay.
So, you know, people bid for it publicly. And then so you know who won the bid. I know the specification for the road. When last did you ever hear a bidding for any building or construction in Nigeria? No, everything is shrouded in mystery.
I do see tenders in some dailies say they are just calling for, you know, bids for. So yeah, I have to be honest. I do see a few in.
I'm just saying how many times. I'm not saying it is non-existent.
Okay,
I chose my word carefully. How many times do you see that for everything that is being done in the nation, in the what do you call it? That, because you sit and tell me that the Federal Executive Council has approved $45 billion, you know, for the construction of this. How did they arrive at that? Where was it advertised? Who are the people that bid? How did you come to select? How did we come to the point whereby the Federal Executive says, okay, this is what has been approved for it? Figures are just thrown at us.
Okay, so
that's what you find on the campuses.
So the students, many of the students are not particular about what the SUG are doing because they're not. They're looking for what quick money, try to enjoy themselves.
The same apathy that you find in society, you find on the campus. I've paid them the money, whatever they like, they can do with it. I don't want to get my degree and get out.
Tony, speaking to us, final caller from eWarfare. Tony, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
Good morning, our guest.
Morning, sir.
Yeah, I want to tell you that the kind of money you find in student union activities, you may be amazed if you know the kind of budget. I was a member of the student union government, I did, director of sport. I know the kind of, it's a system issue, because like that person I call that, they give a lot of money. There is a lot of money. All the shops you see in the school pay rent and dues to the body. Yes, you pay, as you are paying your school fee, there is a second thing in your school fee that they pay SGB fee.
Yes,
this is a better fee.
Yes.
Pay faculty fee. But you know that you still pay it physically after paying that one in the school fee. You still pay it manually. you have we have a system that is corrupt from the grassroots, or how from this scratch. It's corrupt. A lot of money. If you are a traditional government business with that investment, you are a billionaire, I tell you. I made a lot of money for my own area.
So did you use the money rightly or wrongly, Tony?
Yeah, although I used the money rightly because I went to Luka in my days. Went to Luka.
Okay.
So there was a lot of money. Even that Luka, a lot of billions was put into that movement.
Yes, I know. You know, Nuga Games are pretty big, and I love the Nuga Games. I like the idea of universities interacting, exchanging ideas, numbers. I know people who have gotten married and, you know, switch universities and allegiances. It's a fantastic idea. Nuga is a fantastic idea.
Yeah, I was part of the Nuga Games. It's always very big.
Yeah, it is big. We have just about 3 minutes, sir. So, people need to start to take, students now, need to start to take what their SDG governments are doing seriously.
Have you listened to some of the student union, you know, those candidates? Have you listened to some of their, you know, manifestos?
Yeah.
You know, how is it different from the one you find in the society? People have all these, you know, esoteric kind of dreams. And they're painting it for the people. Yeah. It's almost like, you know, we're going to give you, you know, like an AC jacket, you know, so that you're not, you know, that kind of thing. When you listen to some of the campaign promises, you ask yourself, at what level of intelligence is this person operating? But we've always, I think over time, we've come to a level whereby thinking doesn't matter to us. As a people, thinking doesn't matter. All it just matters is make the noise when you get there. Because what the person is targeting is the funds. It's not the, what do you call it, it's not the service. Until we begin to see leadership as a call to serve. And Nigeria is the only country that I have seen in the world where people fight to serve. Because leadership is about service. Nigeria is the only country I see where people kill because they want to serve. Where people, you know, manipulate and do that. No, I think our definition of leadership and service
is warped.
It's warped. Completely warped. Out of this world. But the things that people do in the name of, I want to serve my people. You really wonder, is this really about service? And when they get into office, you can see what it means.
Yes.
18 special assistants. So maybe the PRO will have 5. Maybe the sports minister or whatever it is,
we have
2. You can see how we are beginning to load the expenditure
of the SDG government.
Of the SDG. And then put that, how is it different from the nation? The citadel of learning is no longer setting the pace. All we are doing is we're picking the models, the dysfunctional models that has brought oppression and hardship on the people is what we've imported to the campuses.
It should be the other way around. Good morning, Jude and Dr. Alfred. I think the SDG should be to be able to function in modern Nigeria, says that we should consider the following. The university management should allow the union to run its elected officials in line with the laws of the university, with some level of monitoring from the management through the Office of the Dean of Student Affairs. The management should not by any means influence the outcome of elections. To this regard, I present my alma mater, IAUE, as a case study. The vice chancellor was always very distant from wielding any form of influence on the elections of the government. Thirdly, the structures of the union, such as the SRC, that's the ruling council and judicial council, and congressmen should be outrightly independent. Good morning, Jude. I SDG to be more, I think, should give them a free democratic hand to rule. This doesn't stop the school management but for checking them. Secondly, student unionism should stop playing godfatherism. Elections should be free and fair in order to push to the end of unionism. And then lastly, the SDG body should learn to stand and fight for the truth without any form of nepotism and fear of anybody. My final comment on this, I remember in school, I got to see the University of Port Harcourt. I don't know how, but they purchased, or maybe the SDG government purchased a bus for use. It was broadly imprinted on SDG bus. But only a few people drove the SDG bus. The bus had AC. Those who were in charge, whether it was they would drive the bus, they had accidents with the bus. And yet, not once did I see students who were stranded in that bus. So, once again, Uniport, you can do better. Dr. Alfred, thank you very much for coming through.
Thank you very much, Jude.
My name is Jude.